In fact, we are starting a new series this morning called Overcomer. I believe that we are called to be overcomers. We have that today. We have that victory. It's a series on the life of Jesus as we prepare our hearts for Easter. We believe in the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. That means that he experienced everything that you and I experienced in our lives. And because of this, he is able to empathize with us in the midst of our own suffering. And so this Easter season, as we prepare our hearts, let us never undervalue the defining moments that led to his victory on the cross and over the grave. This morning our scripture comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. I'm going to invite you in your homes to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. The scripture should be on the screen. You can join with me in reading this aloud. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil had finished all this tempting. He left him until an opportune time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for Luke chapter 4. We thank you for Jesus and his example of overcoming temptation. God, we too can overcome temptation because you have taught us the way. You have taught us to be full of the Spirit. You've taught us to be men and women of the Word. And so today, God, we choose to be overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it with your strength at work in our lives. Jesus, there are so many areas of our lives where we need to overcome. So many battles that each of us are facing today. But Jesus, I pray for your victory. As we sang it today, ours is the victory today. So Jesus, we thank you. Father, would you speak to everyone in their homes today? Lord, we pray for their protection. We pray that you'd watch over them as they come and they go. And Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the foundational theological concepts is the hypostatic union. Jesus is fully divine and fully human. He is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He has two equal natures in one person. He is the pre-existent one before creation. He is also the co-eternal one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Now this is not a theory. This is a fact. We believe it to be a fact. The Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD defined these two natures as being without confusion, without change, without division, without separation. Shai Lin, a Christian rapper theologian, has lyrically presented the hypostatic union of Jesus as 200%. Now, I'm not going to rap for you this morning, although you'd probably like for me to do that so I can embarrass myself. That way I can go viral on YouTube. But instead, I'm just going to read the rap. So get ready. Are you ready? You'll hear the rhyme for yourself. The Son of God, 100% divinity, self-existent second person of the Trinity, magisterial, imperial, at the helm, infinitely transcending this material realm. He's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold, invincible, prototypical, holy principle, possessor of all divine attributes, the Omni's wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He is the one that all creation was made through, and by him the earth's foundation was laid to, asked the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Satan created Satan too. Matter of fact, he created you. And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule from the furthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame? By the word of his power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself. Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness beyond what the sharpest biologist acknowledges, he needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees all hearts, omnipresent cardiologist, master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is preposterous. Okay, I'm halfway through, get ready. The Son of Man, 100% humanity. The mind stretches to understand, how can it be? You gotta see what he does. Becoming what he wasn't while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping? That got you tripping? Me too. But the scripture is true. Peep Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus who made Uranus and Venus became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subject of the Gospels, the praise of the apostles. Armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness, and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out, sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the sun, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pains? See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saves from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, I ought just to cry, why? With water in my eyes, when the author of life dies, raised on the third God-man soul seeker, the hypostatic union, it gets no deeper. You can applaud for me at home. You see, we must see that the temptation narratives in Matthew 4:1-11, Luke 4:1-13, give us this glimpse into a larger spiritual struggle, a big cosmic battle between God and Satan, and good versus evil. Because Christ was tempted, he is able to fully identify with us today. with us humanity, you and I, because he experienced temptation as well. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." The first verse we see that Jesus, he departed into the wilderness full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Now, why would God lead a Spirit-filled Jesus who's Spirit-led into a confrontation with Satan, his arch-nemesis? James 1:13 clarifies, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So let me be clear today that God may test us, but it is Satan who tempts us. And the devil tempted when Jesus was physically weak, but spiritually strong. Quite often the opposite is true of us. We are either physically strong, but spiritually weak, or physically weak and spiritually weak. Yet if you're full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, you cannot be overcome, but instead, you will overcome. Number 40 is significant in Bible numerology. Jesus' wilderness experience is reminiscent of Moses. Moses, 40 days on top of Mount Sinai, and Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Jesus' temptation signaled a new beginning, that he is the arrival of a new Moses, and he gives us the possibility of being a perfected Israel. And if you find yourself today in a wilderness place this morning, you can overcome temptation the same way Jesus overcame temptation, by being full of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, being armed with the Word of God in your heart and upon your lips. As Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13 states, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So friends, in this battle of temptation that you and I face, it's time to start winning, and it's time to stop losing. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus. morning, I want to propose three temptations that Jesus faced in Luke 4, 1 to 13, that you and I have likely already faced in our lives, but we will continue to face in our lives, and we must overcome each and every time. The first one is the physical temptation. You find this in verse 2b to 4. Scripture says, he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. If you've tried fasting before, it's hard work. If you fasted 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, some of you maybe even 40 days, you can just imagine the hunger. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. As you can imagine, the pain and the pangs of hunger in his stomach, growling. This just reinforces that Jesus was human, just like all of us. Now, Satan was well aware of Jesus' divinity. You know, he knew that he was God. He knew that once before Satan was an angel and he was in the heavens, and yet he knew he was divine, but in this moment, Satan is unfamiliar with Jesus's humanity. Satan challenged the omnipresent, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, Jesus, to turn a stone into bread. This is a physical temptation to self-provide rather than to just trust God to provide. And Jesus' response suggested that he had been feasting on something of greater substance all that time through those 40 days. And we learned that it was the Word of God. The Word of God was in his heart. The Word of God was ready upon his lips. You see, we can eat bread, you and I, but we will become hungry again. But there is a bread that satisfies, and that bread is the Word of God. It is therefore insufficient for us to live on bread alone. Now we know this because Jesus quoted scripture. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And if God fed the Israelites with manna, then certainly God can feed Jesus, certainly God can feed you today. As you go to the stores, as you make your way, you quietly and quickly go to the stores, maybe go to Food Basics or Sobeys, and you see all the shelves are empty today. I want you to know that God, our God, will miraculously provide food to feed you. The temptation in life is to fool ourselves into thinking that we do not need God in order to meet our basic needs. Food, water, shelter, are all of his gracious gifts to us. We should not take them for granted today. We cannot